Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm chapter 147, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the outcasts of Israel, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars, he gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power, his understanding is beyond our measure.
I want to congratulate our mothers today and thank them especially for all the good work that they have done through the years. It's where would we be without the influence of godly mothers? Today, actually, as we think about our society and the forces that are directed against the home, to believe in the family, to believe in the traditional roles of mothers and fathers and children, as we find those parameters described and outlined for us in the Word of God, that becomes more and more an act of courage. And for someone today to grow up wanting to be a Christian wife and a Christian mother and to raise children in the faith who will become leaders in the church and strong in the church and standing up for what's right in their lives, that's a real courageous and noble idea and calling in life. The idea of Mother's Day, as it were, for about a century or so now, we've set that side, that particular day aside in our calendar in America to give honor to whom honor is due, Romans 13, verse 7. And to think about that in a special way. It's not a religious holiday of sorts, but it is an opportunity to recognize the importance of mothers in the home. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt who described mothers as being even more important and even better citizens, actually, than soldiers. He described them as even better than that because of their influence, better than statesmen and politicians and artists and scientists and all things such as that. So it's a courageous thing in our day for someone to take on the responsibility of being a mother and following after the description the Bible gives and the responsibilities that are given of mothers today. And I wanted to talk about that just a little bit this morning and talk about the courage that's needed in three particular areas. The first one would be to talk about keeping home and being the center of that universe of the family. The second one would be the idea of teaching children. And the third one being the idea of disciplining children. All three are very courageous, and even more so in the society in which we live today. Used to be sometimes when people were talking, the conversation would eventually turn to, well, do you work outside the home? And every once in a while, someone might get a little out of bounds in their comments and say, well, do you work? Well, anyone who raises children and keeps home knows that that's a ridiculous question. Whether you're working outside the home in a job of a secular nature, still when you're raising a family, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And our society recognizes that, hopefully more than they used to recognize it. The idea of being a homemaker is a full-time job. And it takes the family, the husband and wife and everybody else to keep things going. But they used to say things like, a woman's job is never done, or something to that effect. I remember growing up in a family of eight children, and mom was a stay-at-home mom for the most part. Sometimes she would maybe do some things on the side to supplement the income of our family. But I remember that how she worked from morning till night, all the time, always something to be involved in. And yet she loved every bit of it and did a great job at it. There were a few years ago, radical feminists who didn't like the idea of there being a women staying home with children, and those who wanted to be homemakers, as they called them. And they suggested, and even in some respects, wanted there to be legislation passed to create a situation where those who did stay at home with their children could be paid for it. And some began speculating on that. And pretty soon we figured out that we can't make enough money to pay for that. It just can't be done. I mean, the value cannot be measured in dollars and cents. And if it were, it would be hard to meet up to that. And so some think, well, you know, it'd be better to be outside the home. But we haven't understood that as we ought to in this life. There's something about the calling of being a mother, of being a father too, but the calling of being a mother that needs to be accepted and taken for what it is. The scripture talks about it in a couple of places. When Paul wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, he said, "Older women are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good," notice now, "that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Now, one particular phrase there, "workers at home," is really a compound word, which part of it is the word for house, and part of it is the word for work. And so really it talks about housework, or the care of the house, or working at home. Another place that touches on this subject is 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul instructs the younger widows to get married, to bear children, to keep house, and to give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Now, what does he mean there? Well, apparently, in that time, in that day and age, there were some, apparently, who were busy in going from house to house, gossiping one with the other, talking about things that were not proper to be talking about, according to verse 13. And so Paul says, in that context, then, it's better to get married and raise a family than it is to have nothing to do. You know, the old statement, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, so to speak. Well, today you don't have to go from house to house spreading gossip. You have a telephone. You have access to the internet and Facebook and Twitter and all those other channels through which we can communicate, and sometimes communicate things that we formerly would have had to done face-to-face. Now we just do it instantly through that means. But part of Paul's solution was getting busy. In this case, keeping house. Again, it's a word that has both parts in it. The house and the being the master of the house. Literally talking about a householder or the master of a house. And you think also about Proverb 31. Who hasn't read that or referred to that? It talks about the virtuous woman in very glowing terms and says of her in verse 27, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." She was a householder. If you read through it, she was not idle. She was not someone who had nothing to do but was very, very busy. So summarizing all these passages and then underlying the need for courage in doing these things, the homemaker is someone involved in a lot of hard work. A lot of women juggle and balance a career outside the home with inside the home, and there's a lot of labor there, a lot of understanding that's needed by the part of the spouse, a lot of pitching in and helping that's needed, but the idea is hard work. The second place, it involves management. There's a certain amount of management that goes on here. And then finally, he mentions as a postscript, sort of an afterthought, there's a matter of example to other people. For some reason, when Paul wrote these things in Titus, chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said, that they were to practice these things so the word of God may not be dishonored. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, so to give the enemy no occasion for reproach. And of course, the postscript to the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 is that her husband and her children would rise up and call her blessed. So that's an encouragement to us to think about the idea, to accept that challenge, to realize that it's courageous in this day and in this age. And with the economic times in which we live and the high tax rate and all of the things that are in the way, for someone to say, I think I'm going to be a homemaker and raise my children in the home and give them that quality time that's so needed, that's a courageous thing to do. And even among those who work outside the home as well, to realize that the number one calling in life and the number one purpose in the family is our children, even if we are working outside the home. So let me encourage you in that respect. Don't be intimidated by the world, which sometimes doesn't understand these things, and realize it takes great, great courage to be a homemaker. In the second place, there's also a certain amount of courage that's needed to be a teacher. And the home is a wonderful place for early religious training to take place. And this is not just up to the wife and mother, but also the father as well. But in our society, there's an increasing amount of pressure, first of all, to keep children away from their parents, to get them out of the influence of the home as soon as possible so that they can be influenced by the society around them. Now, sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes we're pressured into things. But, you know, the idea that some people have is that what we need to do is let our children just kind of grow up on their own. Don't give them any religious instruction. Don't give them any training. Let them just decide it for themselves when they get old enough to decide it. That sounds good, doesn't it? And that's a real good way to raise a garden. Just don't tell your garden what to grow. Just kind of let it grow up and see what happens. No, what you do is you plant the seed, you cultivate the soil, you water it, and you get what you want out of that crop. And so mothers need to be courageous enough to teach their children, not to be dominated by what is politically expedient around them. Fathers need to teach their children and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. It's the responsibility of parents, first and foremost, to use these formidable years to begin to plant in the hearts and minds of our children the values that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. Be courageous enough to do that. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, Solomon said, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings." Father and mother working together to reinforce one another's message that God has for the home. Now, there's a great need for mothers to be teachers and fathers to be teachers. And the greatest classroom is the home, the family. As we go through everyday life, to have those teachable moments when things can be brought forward and taught and clarified to our children. And as your child grows and spends more and more time away from home, we want to give them something that will stay with them in their hearts. Time is so precious. Children grow up so fast. The first 5 years, your child will learn 75% of what he or she will ever learn. First 5 years. So the Bible stories that they hear, read from a Bible story book, or taught from the mouths and hearts of their parents are so important. There's no other time of life that is so important for our children. And so in whatever our circumstance might be, the Bible teaches this in Ephesians 5, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. There are times when children were growing up when we were tired, and you said, we just want to get these kids in bed so we can just kind of vegetate, you know. You know what I mean by that? You just want to sit on the couch and just kind of stare into space, maybe watch the news or whatever, but you wanted to just quiet down. And so those times your children still need to be prayed with, and they still need to hear something about God and His Word, and they still need to have these things taught at the supper table, at bedtime, whenever it is that you choose to use to teach them. But don't wait till tomorrow. Scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, we give them something that will help them to remain faithful and lead them back if they should slip away or turn the wrong direction. But have the courage to do that. Even though people around you might be saying, no, we don't want to do that, that's what we need to be doing. That's what God calls us to do. And then the third thing we wanted to mention this morning, mothers need to be courageous in practicing discipline. Discipline's not a favorite topic, is it? It's not a very popular idea. We talk about spanking a child, and instantly fathers and mothers begin looking around for the people that are come and take them and arrest them and haul them away, kind of thing. People are scared of that. But what we're talking about is not child abuse. We're talking about loving, consistent discipline. And parents have different ways of doing that. But the main thing, it needs to be loving, and it needs to be consistent. Now, sometimes you can read in the Bible how a child getting his own way becomes a hard thing to live with, either with the parents or with the family in general. I was thinking about this, you know, what would it be if mothers said, well, we're going to practice discipline, but it's only when daddy gets home from work. You know, my dad always was gone and mom was always there at the house, and boy, we were scared of dad, you know, but mom also could take care of things herself. And we knew that if she wouldn't take care of things too, then we would put it this way, that the inmates would be running the asylum until dad got home. So there had to be discipline on both parts to make it function the way it ought to function. But child training involves more than spankings. It involves teaching. It involves example. It involves other things as well. But discipline does also involve spanking at times. If you look at if you believe the Old Testament book of Proverbs, where Solomon wrote to his son, he said in Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. If you want something from the New Testament, just take that over to Hebrews 12 and read there about discipline, because it's kind of related to that same idea. In Proverbs 19, verse 18, Solomon said, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. In other words, discipline, but don't do it out of rage and out of control anger. Don't do it that way. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from death. Again, that saying that getting attention and discipline that way can have dramatically good results. I remember one time after I had grown up telling my dad, I appreciate all the spankings I got because I needed them. And he never really probably thought about it before. But had I not received that, I probably would have been a lot worse than I was, to speak. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way bring shame to his mother. It takes courage to practice loving, consistent discipline. The main thing that it requires on our part is self-discipline. It's not easy to be disciplined, nor is it easy to discipline others. But the results of it are dramatic. Again, from the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, you can see that the result of discipline is very good. You'll enjoy your children so much more. Others will enjoy your children so much more. Your children will enjoy themselves so much more, because it's part of what is required to live a happy, productive life, is to have boundaries that are meaningful, clearly defined, and consistently, lovingly enforced. So we talked about those three things this morning. And to our mothers, we appreciate you. We appreciate all that you're doing. To our fathers, we appreciate what you do as well. But this is Mom's Day, so we want to give her the credit that she deserves. And thinking back over the influences of your life, most would agree that Mom comes right at the top of the list. Right there next to some others, very important people, but often the very first one. Let me encourage you to be courageous, though, to accept responsibility, to make this your calling, to make this your ministry. This is your purpose when you have children. And it's not less than any other person around you. What you do for your children and with your children, and reinforcing spiritual values to your children, that is more important than anything that you could probably be doing right now. So let me encourage you and praise you for that. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this time together. We're thankful for this day. And we're thankful for our mothers, for the young ladies here who are raising children presently, for those whose children are raised. And we pray that you will bless them and strengthen them. And bless all of us, Father, as we seek to influence our children for good, whether mothers or fathers or friends. We pray that we may be of encouragement to one another. Strengthen us now, Father, as a congregation. Help this family to grow stronger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond to the gospel this morning, need to become a child of God, if you're not as yet baptized into Christ, upon your faith in Jesus and your willingness to change your life, we invite you to come. If you've wandered away and need to come back to Him, we encourage you to do that. If we can help, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.